Next up, Noam Chomsky on the climate crisis.
This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
No one's going to be brought to the Hague, but recognizing that it would be legitimate and justified is an important way of helping people comprehend the enormity of what is happening before their eyes.
First, I want to thank you for coming. We do these scientists warning TV programs every day at the COP at 3 o'clock. I've been doing this for several years. My name's Stuart Scott. I'm the host for these simulated TV talk shows and coming to you live from COP24. And I'm the executive director of scientistswarning.org. So today's guest, yes, Noam Chomsky. He's professor emeritus of MIT. He's a current laureate professor at the University of Arizona. He's said to be one of the most cited scholars in history. And I believe he's the conscience of America, which right now is displaying a particular lack of conscience. And the name we're calling this program is Political Betrayal Turning into Mobilizing Action. And I want to offer a belated birthday greeting to Noam, who turned 90 on December 7th. I turned 70 on December 7th. We share a birthday. But he's got 20 years of wisdom and experience on me. And as I said, these are the answers that he gave to questions that I posed to him, and I'll read the questions to you. How do you view humanity's present situation in terms of the climate crisis and our attempts to deal with it at the UN climate negotiations?
Well, we face a very serious dilemma, stark, cruel dilemma. On the one hand, there is a severe, dire crisis. Dealing with it cannot be delayed. It's the most important issue that has arisen in human history. This generation, in fact, today's leaders and people will make a decision as to whether organized human society can survive in any decent livable form. It's no less than that. That's one horn of the dilemma. The other horn of the dilemma is that we have to face the reality of the world. We have to find ways of reacting that are not only justified, but are also feasible and effective. So, for example, it would be entirely justified to send the most powerful person in the world, President of the United States, The Hague, for trial for severe crimes against humanity, and many lesser figures as well. That would be justified. It's not feasible. It's not effective. To choose approaches that are feasible and effective, we have to recognize the reality of the situation we face and adjust our approaches accordingly.
Then I asked him, what about the denialism that exists at the highest levels in the United States, where Donald Trump, who I, in my conversation with him, called a recognized sociopath, where Donald Trump is president?
So when the president of the United States says, I don't believe it, highly intelligent people like myself are not believers, that has an impact on much of the population. Especially so when it is echoed by the people right in the next lower level. So, for example, if you look at the Republican Party primaries in 2016, every single candidate either denied that global warming is taking place or said maybe it is, but we shouldn't do anything about it, which morally speaking is much worse. They were, incidentally, the ones praised as the adults in the room.
Then I asked him, how about corporate executives, the business community, and the general population?
So I'm sure that the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, is well aware of the effect of using fossil fuels freely. So how is he deciding to react to that? By increasing investment in fossil fuels. We know very well about the behavior of the major fossil fuel companies over the past 40 or 50 years. It's now well known that their scientists, ExxonMobil's scientists, were in the lead in discovering the significance and the threat of catastrophic environmental global change, and were presenting paper after paper to their own managers and executives explaining the nature of the threat. And when James Hansen in 1988 made his famous speech warning the world of the threat that we are facing, ExxonMobil management reacted, namely by shifting to funding of denialism and skepticism and increasing their the use of fossil fuels. We can go on. When the New York Times, a couple of weeks ago, runs a long front page, 1,000-word article on how President Trump is opening up a vast new fields in the west of the United States for oil exploration, for fracking. They do talk a little about environmental effects, namely it might harm the interests of ranchers who want to use those lands. It was literally one phrase in 1,000 words saying that by dropping restrictions on methane, it may lead to a very dangerous gas escaping into the environment. One phrase in 1,000 words.
And when I spoke to Noam, we spoke for well over an hour. He was very critical of the mainstream press for downplaying or underrepresenting the words climate change in their reporting of various things going on.
And all of this has an effect on the population. People listen, they see. They see that nobody seems to be taking it seriously. We see the results in polls among Republicans. Fully half of Republicans literally deny that global warming is taking place. Now, that includes people whose livelihoods are being destroyed by long droughts that are wiping out their sources of fish, of food, and so on. Say, no, it's not happening. That's half of Republicans. Of the other half, barely half say humans may be responsible. After all, if the man in charge says highly intelligent people like me don't believe it, who am I to question it? These are some of the realities we have to face.
Our governments are not telling us the truth, quite simply. They're not saying how severe the consequences are. They're hiding behind, it's always 10 years off or 12 years off, or the goal is by 2050. And he was very critical in general of governments, how they are not preparing people for the kinds of changes. So then I asked him, what would be the most effective approach to the task ahead of us out of addressing this dire threat?
The effective approach is not simply to say, look, there's a dire emergency, you have to change everything you do. That's not going to work. What has to be done is to approach people, explaining that the situation is serious, is likely to be catastrophic unless we do something, and then go on to show what in fact is true, that efforts to deal with it are within range and will in fact make your life better. They're not going to destroy your life. We'd be much better off living in a green economy. You'd be much better off not spending 3 hours a day fighting traffic jams if you had an efficient mass transportation system. You'd be better off if you didn't have to take your kids to the doctor because they're suffering asthma because they can't breathe the air. If we had potable water, yes, things would be better. If we had an environment in which if people could survive and live decent lives, everyone would be better, and it is within reach. There are things that we can do. There are things that are being done. Those are the kinds of approaches that have to be taken, and it has to be done. It's a difficult choice, because on the one hand, you recognize the enormous character of the catastrophe that's impending. On the other hand, you have to mute your responses to address the reality of the world in which you're trying to make a change. A hard decision. Often in many activist endeavors, these questions arise. It has to be managed and quickly. It's some of the things that are happening are almost beyond description. I'll just mention what may be the most evil document that has ever appeared in human history, which was barely mentioned in the news. Naturally, it's from a bureaucracy, Trump's National Highway Administration bureaucracy. Came out with a big study, a couple hundred pages a few weeks ago, concluding, explaining why all regulations on automotive emissions have to be ended. No regulations, free emissions. And they had a very rational argument. They said, if we extrapolate from what is happening now, by the end of the century, it will essentially be over the cliff. The temperature will have risen 3 or 4 degrees centigrade. Sea level will be very high. They radically underestimated it. People will be fleeing the coastal zones. It's all over. And emissions don't really contribute that much to it, so why not enjoy it while we can? The underlying assumption, of course, is everyone in the world is as criminally insane as we are, and nobody's going to do anything about it. That's the human species. So fine, let's rob while the planet burns, putting poor Nero in the shadows. He only fiddled while Rome burns. That's the world that we face, and we have to understand it, deal with it, grit our teeth, approach the problems constructively, effectively, and in a way that is feasible, suppressing the justified feeling that we should be taking extremely dire actions. Now, that is not to say that we should not be doing those things. Major dramatic actions are very much in order. Efforts to create a general strike, regular massive protests. All of these things are important. They have to be shaped and geared so that they, instead of being offensive to people, they energize and mobilize them. That's the way they have to be developed, organized, and run. There's a range of activities that can be important, that can be done, from talking to your neighbor to installing LED lights to political action to demonstrating to bringing the dire character of the existing circumstances to general understanding. All of these things are within range. There can be no delay in executing them. These are the most significant questions that the human species has ever faced, and the record shows that it can succeed. We don't have a lot of time. This has to be done effectively, quickly, with careful thought. Actions like Extinction Rebellion, the teacher strike, Earth strike, aiming for a general strike, all of these things can be in parallel with efforts to simply introduce legislation to improve renewable energy, to cut back sharply on the use of fossil fuels, to end the insane expansion of fossil fuel exploration and lifting of fuels. All of that has to be done at the same time. No one's going to be brought to the Hague, but recognizing that it would be legitimate and justified is an important way of helping people comprehend the enormity of what is happening before their eyes. We should always bear in mind the slogan that Antonio Gramsci made famous. We should have pessimism of the intellect, but optimism of the will. It's never been more important than it is now.
Pessimism of the intellect, but optimism of the will. We have to act decisively and quickly. That's why we're here. That's not why the parties are here, unfortunately. They're involved in a ritual annual process of kicking the can down the road. Help us organize against this existential threat to life on Earth at scientistswarning.org. Again, my name is Stuart Scott. Thank you very much.